What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink. We engage you, the listener, and interact on a different topic each week. We've got loads of good tunes, lovely music, and lots of analysis to keep you going.
And interviews from experts or you telling us what you think about our daily topic. Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Statistics show that in the last two decades, the cost of higher education in Africa has increased by over 90%. In many countries, it has risen to the levels where students can't afford to pay their way through college, many dropping out of high school or giving up midway through their university education. In the past, many countries offered students with high grades some kind of merit scholarship based on the student's academic achievement. However, that has also changed, and in many public universities, the safety net of having government meet part of your tuition is really over. But that is besides the major complaint of many parents across Africa who lament that whereas their salaries have stagnated in the past decade, the price of education has skyrocketed. Many complain that they have had to deplete their savings or in some cases had to skip buying basic necessities for their families so they can pay university tuition for a child. There's no doubt that sustainable growth in Africa is contingent upon providing the right education to a critical mass of young people. These are the same people that go on to transform their economies, their country's economies. Therefore, the goal of any government should be to provide its youth with an affordable, good quality, and relevant higher education. In South Africa, the recent mass student protests over tuition hikes highlighted a problem that is not limited to their system alone. And even though most governments will claim that public funding is already overstretched, there is a need to refocus priorities to meet the growing demand for access to higher education. Obviously, the subsequent debate to this access, which we've had on the show right here on Upfront, is how to provide quality education that gives students the right skills to solve local issues while being able to compete on the global marketplace. So what's your take on this? Do you feel that your access to education is hampered by the high tuition rates? Stay tuned. This is Upfront on The Voice of America. But first, let's listen to your opinions.
When you look at the cost that we get this education at, it is very alarming. For example, me as a student, the amount of money we pay is always very high, and the parents are always complaining about the tuition because it's too expensive and high for them, and you know it's not good for me because first of all, the books we need at university are very expensive themselves. We get these out, we have to buy them by our own selves, and this means that on top of the tuition which you pay, which is very high, we are buying textbooks. Now this is a very burden on my parent.
Education is expensive because as of now, people are paying a lot of money. For example, in some of the secondary schools, they are saying that this coming January, the fees will raise and will come in 12,000. So the people, they cannot afford to pay such kind of money.
For instance, last year, examination fee, we were paying 2,700, but now it has been raised to 6,000, which is just showing that education is now expensive.
Very soon, all the problems of your nation. We want a revolution. Young people revolution. Intelligent revolution. Must be African education.
Come back. If you've just joined us, this is Upfront of the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Nadia Sami is in Johannesburg, South Africa. where thousands of students have been protesting the high costs of education. Our reporter Anita Powell is based in South Africa, in Johannesburg, South Africa, and she covered the Fees Must Fall protest and filed this report.
South African students won a major victory. After more than a week of protests against university tuition hikes, shut down at least 15 schools and earned the students a meeting with the president. Here's President Jacob Zuma at the conclusion of that meeting at the presidency with student leaders and academics.
We agreed that there will be a zero increase of university fees in 2016. Discussions will continue looking at broader issues than the fees.
Those issues, he said, include the idea of free education and the thorny race issues that underpin many discussions on education in South Africa. But that meeting was not without turmoil. As leaders talked behind closed doors in Pretoria, police outside fired stun grenades and used water cannon after some student protesters tried to force their way onto the premises. That echoed violent scenes from earlier in the week, as police scuffled with students in Cape Town and arrested 29 of them during a march on the nation's parliament. That kind of scenario is exactly what University of Johannesburg graduate Peter Lekalakala fears. The engineering graduate says he supports the move for free education, but worries that all sides in the fight will dig into their positions. South Africa's government says it simply can't afford to support all students. Universities say they are struggling to keep up with higher demand and rising costs without raising tuition. And student groups have said they will not halt protests until all their demands are met.
Obviously, it's going to lead to that point where they're going to corner someone and someone's going to have to fight back. And I think in this case, it's going to get violent. And unfortunately, the students have numbers, but they don't have the firepower to do it, whereas the police do.
Students on the streets of Johannesburg were quick to point out that much more needs to be done to make the university system fair to everyone. University of Johannesburg student Katlego Nduli says her family is middle class. But Nduli, whose first name means success, says she is struggling financially because her family is deemed too wealthy for her to get school loans and scholarships.
The government claims that my parents have enough money for me not to be able to be granted a bursary. But then still, you get to find out that they're also too poor for me to afford university.
This movement is about much more than just university fees. Today's college students belong to a generation known as born frees. South Africans born after the end of apartheid in 1994. But many of them say they're fed up with hearing promises from the government about equality and opportunity for all. Today, at least, their protests forced the government to put its words into action. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
Now, Nadia, South Africa is considered to have one of the best education systems in Africa. But it seems that according to these protesters that the costs of education keep rising, making the education, this education inaccessible to the majority of them.
You know, many families cannot even consider sending their kids to a university or a technicon because they simply cannot afford it. It's a luxury they cannot afford. And I say it's a luxury they cannot afford, but, you know, our constitution says it's a right. What we're seeing now is young people fighting for that right, fighting to make that possible for them and for generations to come, really. You know.
Now, did the protesters catch the government off guard? Was this a situation that government leaders had been unaware of?
While the government says it's your right to have an education, on the flip side, over the years, government has cut funding to tertiary education facilities. And that has been a major bone of contention among academics and among students and parents alike. So one could say this has been a disaster waiting to happen. It's not something that the government can say has taken it by surprise. This is something that young people have been warning for the past few years. They want attention to be given to this matter.
Now, for this current protest, what would you say was the trigger?
The current series of events started nearly 2 weeks ago. It all began at Wits University, which is one of South Africa's best and most celebrated institutions. Students rallied under the hashtag fees must fall. Initially, what they were calling for was the scrapping of fee hikes, because there were announcements that the fees for the coming year, 2016, were quite large, and many students, who are battling to already pay off fees for perhaps their first and second years were now faced with, more increases. A lot of students have not been able to write the exams because they were told, well, you need to first cover your fees for last year. And many students just simply cannot afford it. This is South Africa, where there's a huge disparity in wealth. You know, we don't have an equal distribution of wealth in any sense. We've got a very big divide between the country's wealthiest and the country's poorest. And so the announcement of fee hikes, just set the cat among the pigeons, and people, a lot of young people had said they had enough. Eventually, we had the finance minister holding a meeting with the various vice chancellors and student bodies, and he eventually made an announcement. Higher Education Minister Bladen Zimandi said that tuition fees at all institutions across the country would be capped at 6%. The students were not happy with this. They said 6% is still too high, it's still prohibitive, and the protests continued and gathered steam. What we saw was a massive protest, major turnout from UCT students, Cape Peninsula University of Technology students, marched to Parliament in Cape Town, where the finance minister was delivering his midterm budget speech. The intention there was for them to disrupt that speech, and they did storm the front section of Parliament, trying to get into the precinct. They weren't successful in getting in, but they were successful in having their message heard across the country and far beyond our borders. We saw a major outpouring of support on Twitter and other social media for the students. So this quickly gathered momentum, Jackson.
Go to school, my brother. I said, go to school. You will understand very soon all the problems of your nation. We want a revolution. Young people revolution. Intelligent revolution must be African education.
So I would say that education has become more expensive over time, and I think there's no end to this spiral in costs. The costs are rising because, you see, the schools have to pay teachers. Issue is, government needs to recognize education has collapsed in this country.
I considered education to be more expensive than whatsoever. In those days, government take responsibility or shoulder responsibility of people education and so on. But now, that is not there on ground. So if the cost of education is rising or is going up, and the poverty level still remain at this level, you will discover that a lot of our youth will remain at home, on school and whatsoever. To make it affordable to everybody, government should continue to probably, fund our school and sustain our school and ensure that at least everybody is given a right. It's not even a chance. Everybody is given a right to go to school.
Thanks so much for your topics, guys. We love to hear from you, and do send us some suggestions. If you have shows that you'd like us to follow up in the future, we love to hear from you. Now, Jackson, there's empirical evidence that education and economic development are directly related, and we've seen countries that invest in the education of its young people, of its elderly people as well, experiences more positive social political changes.
True, Nadia. However, we've seen that for the past decade, education costs have increased exponentially. This has made it harder for people to afford basic and higher education.
So we've all been following the student protest in South Africa, where students are protesting the hike in their tuition. Protests were mostly peaceful. We saw a couple of situations where they had confrontations with the police, but overall they were peaceful. And I spoke to Zikisa Makubela, one of the leaders of the protests. He's the president of the Students' Representative Council at Rhodes University in South Africa. And he says that the Fees Must Fall protest was mainly to hold the ANC, the ruling party in power right now, on its promise to provide free education.
The citizens of the country holding the government accountable to the promises of the government, that they promise us free education, and so therefore we want free education. Having to pay 100,000 rand per year for rent tuition is a lot of money, especially in a country riddled with unemployment and high poverty and high inequality. It's just very expensive.
You have a conversation previously before this current protest that we saw. Did you have conversations in the previous years with the government or policymakers around the issue of restructuring tuition?
Okay, so when it comes to government, there was an inquiry about three years ago into looking into the possibility and the feasibility of free education. That inquiry did its work and completed its work, but however, the Minister of Higher Education then refused basically to release a report from that inquiry proving and arguing that free education was possible and indeed was feasible. So that's basically that's where the conversation sort of died off.
There's basically a report saying that the South African government can afford to pay tuition for college-going students, or at least subsidize their tuition.
Yes.
But they did not release it.
That's what we have been told by the report states. But the department has refused to release the report.
So the government refused to release the report that they commissioned. And how has the response been so far? Do you feel that the protest that you had, I know that you guys went to the parliament to demand answers. How do you feel the response has been from the government side towards towards your demands?
I think from the Minister of Higher Education in particular, his response has been overwhelmingly disappointing. We're actually quite appalled at his conduct around this entire issue, even going as far as making a joke about how if students refuse to go back to class, then they'll start their own movement called Students Must Fall. And then laughing at that, despite the fact that the students are protesting because it's just genuinely too expensive to go to higher education.
So obviously that's not a very good response. That's not the kind of response students were looking for. If the Minister of Education can make those kind of proclamations, it feels like they didn't get the message then.
Basically, it's not the response you would expect from a ministry. It's not that type of response. And it was overwhelmingly disappointing. But I must commend the president who then decided to call a meeting with student leaders in a bid to address this. And when this meeting was called, it's with the vice chancellors of the two universities, the chairs of university councils, and SRC presidents across the country. And so once upon that meeting is where the no fee increase was approved for next year. And so I must commend the president of the country for in this instance playing a leading role in trying to address the issue. However, I'm disappointed in his Minister of Higher Education. And besides, this is something I think is true across the country. But I think the one thing that must be noted is that is not the end unto itself. What we want to achieve fundamentally is that the government must do as it has promised to do and give the country free education. And that's fundamentally what the students want. And this is almost an interim measure to the longer-term conversation.
Okay, so the tuition hikes have been frozen right now, but did they say how long it will stay before they can increase them? Is there a time period?
Okay, so the fees was confirmed for this year only, and then the next thing that was established is that there's a TAF team that is looking into issues of funding in higher education and seeing how funding can be improved and how issues of and fees and stuff can be improved. And now we're awaiting the results of that TAF team, and we'll use that as the basis for moving forward. But currently the 0% is only specifically for 2016.
Is there a standard rate for education for this tuition? Just to give us an understanding of how expensive education is in South Africa, based on, say, I guess the average income of a household that has a child that goes to the university. Can you give us a little bit of an understanding of these kind of figures or disparities?
A couple of issues is that even when you would read a number like the GDP per capita, that number doesn't tell you much about what's happening with people's lives because there's also high, there's also very high inequality, right? And compounding to the issue of the GDP, right? And so we're looking at now that high inequality, low GDP. I mean, not necessarily low, it's an average of low GDP, but high inequality. And high poverty, right?
Mm.
So you're looking at about 25.5% unemployment. And so the question is that where do you expect that bulk of the country? And also that 25.5% is a narrow definition of employment, of unemployment, right?
Kisa is the president of the Rhodes University Students Representative Council. We are talking about the protests in South Africa. They were thousands of college students in South Africa protesting the raise in their tuition, many saying that it's unaffordable and that education should be free or at least subsidized.
Education is not becoming more affordable in the sense that it is becoming very expensive. And so it's not everybody can afford education for their kids. And so I cannot say that, in my opinion, that education is becoming more affordable. The costs are rising because globally the cost of everything is going up, not just education. So if you talk of feeding, clothing, transportation, everything is going up, and as such, the teachers need to be paid well. The government need to budget, and they put high budget on education, and that increases everything, which will be transferred down to parents who pay school fees to maintain their kids in school, and that goes a long way to increase school fees, maintenance of the kids, taking them to school, bringing them back, or even keeping them in boarding schools. They are all increasing the cost of education.
Instead of you having a good education, they tell you good things cost money. And we're going to discover that with the way things are going on now, you may go to an expensive school and yet you don't get what you are looking for.
Those were some of your opinions on our topic. Let's listen to a conversation that I had with Emmanuel John, a medical student at Port Harcourt University.
The official policy by the government is that tuition is free in Nigerian universities. Okay. But we pay a huge sum for other sun-dried charges.
Of other charges that are also education-related?
Yes, yes.
Like textbooks and other things.
Not just books. They tell us to pay. They charge us for stuff like library fee, laboratory fees, identity cards, sports fees. You know, just as a way of circumventing the government's policy of no tuition payment in Nigerian universities. But it really is not working because we end up paying so much, actually.
Have you seen costs rising in the past couple of years?
Yes, it has been a steady increase. When I got into school at the university where I school, the fees we paid were about 5,000 naira. And as I speak to you, we pay close to 30,000 naira. And some people pay as much as 40,000 naira. And then in some other universities, the cost is even much higher. And it's worse in the private universities because those are purely commercial enterprises.
So this is a government university that we're talking about. This is a state-run university, state-run educational institution. So yes. What happens if you're a student from a family that is not able to pay all these fees, what do you do? What happens to you? Do you abscond from your education?
Unfortunately, we've had cases where a lot of students had to drop out of schools because they were not able to afford fees. In fact, as I speak to you now, there are so many contradictions in our educational payments models. If you pay your school fees later than the time when you've been asked to pay, and then there's a 50% surcharge on late payment of school fees. That we've been trying to battle with our student activists. We've called the authorities to the fact that if you cannot afford to pay school fees at Wendy, then you can't afford to pay it when there's an extra 50% surcharge on it. I don't know who gave them the wisdom for that policy, but it happens in my school and a few other universities Nigeria. And what we hear is the government is planning to officially hike school fees in state-owned universities, state-run higher institutions. And it's a crisis, I hope, does not come up, because if it does come up, it's going to be a big problem.
That was Emmanuel John, a student at Port Harcourt University in Nigeria.
Up front on the Voice of America, we're still exploring the issue of high tuition rates in African universities, specifically in South Africa, in light of what has been happening in South Africa with the Fees Must Fall protest movement. We've heard from students about these tuition hikes. Let's hear from a school administrator, somebody who actually works in a university, who is part of the school administration. Imam Shafiq is a university administrator in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
When you look at institutions, big institutions like the University of Dar es Salaam, like the University of Makerere, traditionally in this region it is the biggest almost, or Kenyatta University in Kenya, these other universities. With the advent of economic liberalization policies that were adopted from the World Bank by these governments of ours, these policies come from there in Washington and New York, you know that.
Right.
But specifically, but anyway, the things were not well studied. Now, it led to an influx of very many people into these institutions of higher learning. Very many students beyond manageable capacities.
But that is a good thing, right? That means many more people are accessing education.
Yes, it's okay. But the influx came at a time when the cost had not risen so much. Now that they are already there, people have no choice but to struggle and finish their courses. Then fees are being hiked even in advance of those who would be the fresh students coming in. But the hiking of fees does not commensurate the standards, you know, because this university, something is becoming like every man for himself and God for us all.
Right.
I just give them marks after all. Are they my children? Let me just give, or let me marry to them as long as I get my salary. These things are happening. Because at the end of the day, it is the CEOs who are eating a lion's share of these school fees.
You mean the owners of the schools?
They are very exploitative. If they look at how they can establish other institutions even beyond the borders, and they don't look at the workers well.
That's including the teachers.
Yes, this is the problem, because my knowledge of education as a profession, not so.
Right.
My knowledge of it is that it survives largely on the word motivation. Now, without motivation, education is not there. And motivation is not only for teachers. It is also for the learners in class.
The students.
But a teacher will not motivate a student to learn when a teacher himself is not motivated.
So
this is the scenario.
Has the increase in cost of education led to a dropout, high dropout in universities like the one you're working in?
Yes, it is true, because I see many applicants for what we call dead years. Dead years here in Africa. I don't know the phenomenon of the West.
No.
But in Africa here, people ask for dead years, meaning that I was pursuing this course, but this year I'm not able to pay fees, or I'm sick, or all these other reasons. So I will not do exams.
But
usually, a larger component of it goes to the tuition fees aspect. For those who cannot afford it, they go down and go to work, maybe to get money and come and do the same exams another year, you know, or they never come back at all. This is the scenario. It is a vicious cycle, you know. That is the problem, Jackson.
That was Imam Shafiq, a university administrator in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sam in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye.